Just let me hear some of that rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it. It's got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it. It's gotta be rock and roll music. If you wanna dance with me. If you wanna dance with me. I have no kick against modern jazz. Unless they try to play it too darn fast. And change the beauty of the melody. Until it sounds just like a symphony. That's why I go for that rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it. It's got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it. It's gotta be rock and roll music. If you wanna dance with me. If you wanna dance with me. I took my loved one over across the tracks. So she could hear my man a wailing sax. I must admit they have a rockin' band. Man, they were blowing like a hurricane. That's why I go for that rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it. It's got a backbeat, you can't lose it. Any old time you use it. It's gotta be rock and roll music. If you wanna dance with me. If you wanna dance with me. Way down south they gave a jubilee. Then don't you folks, they had a jamboree. They're drinking home from a wooden cup. The folks dancing got all shook up. And started playing that rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it. It's got a backbeat, you can't lose it.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hey, this is Bobby Elias. Let's create a better world. That's the name of this show. The second theme, Healthy Aging. Thank you so much for tuning in. Good news. Progressive Radio Network is building fast. We're now in 166 countries around the world. We had 10 million hits this past month. There were 6,000 new people came in. Progressive Radio Network is owned by Gary Null. His popularity has boomed, and we are flying. Today, we got a great show. Our first guest will be David King, a master gardener, to talk about organic gardening. I'll give you his titles in a minute. Our second guest will be Rosalie Brooks, who was with Jimi Hendrix for quite a while, did music with him, and we're going to talk also about the history of rock and roll. Want to let you know that you can hear previous shows of this show on the archives by dialing the way you dialed in, prn.fm, and then we'll go under shows. The theme of this show is Let's Create a Better World and also Healthy Aging. In the next few weeks, we're going to talk about aging. We're going to talk about stem cells, cleansing, health, and also GMOs, genetically engineered organisms. There are many new things going on in that world. Okay, let's get to our first guest, David King. He is a master gardener, runs the Learning Garden, and also the Seed Library of Los Angeles. Big location in, next to Venice High School in Southern California. And I'm excited to have him on because we've got some big news also, as you hear the first half of the show, about a new ban going on, a new law that's going to be going into place. David, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, it's good morning for us. And back east, it's 2 p.m., a little after 2 p.m. Eastern time. We have a lot of Eastern listeners. And as you heard at the beginning, the show is really getting more and more people. And I'm just delighted to be on this show and to run it.
Well, I'm delighted to be on with you. So, and there's a lot of, you're right, there's a lot of good things going on.
Let me say something else about you, David. I really like you because you're very dedicated from the time you started. I knew you were going to tell your story in a minute, but you're just so really, you're so nice with people. You care about people. You've got all these people coming to volunteer at your center. I just want to praise you for being a great, nice guy. You let me have a couple meetings for the Gary Null Health Support Group at your place without asking for a penny. You're just a great guy. Thank you for being who you are. Now, if you could tell us your story of how you got started.
Well, thank you, Bob. Actually, I've been a gardener most of my entire life. I started out as a five-year-old by my grandfather in Kansas, doing what he said, and I was better at gardening than I was at being with people, so I got pretty good at gardening. And finally, as an adult, after having done a bunch of other things, I finally ended up coming back to gardening, and I found the Learning Garden just as it opened up in 2002, and knew intuitively that this is how I wanted to work my life, that I wanted to be of service to the community. I wanted to teach people how to grow their own food and how to be healthy by growing their own food and adopting the lifestyle that I knew as a child. And that's kind of where I am today. We do pretty much the same thing. We have classes in gardening for the high school students. I've even taught preschool students how to garden. And we just try to make the Learning Garden a resource for the entire community in whatever way we can. And that includes having Qigong classes and yoga. We've got cooking and gardening classes happening here all the time. So we are a part of the community, and we are grateful to be a part of a community and be able to promote healthy, clean food.
Well, I can tell our listeners that you do a great job. Your place is immaculate. It's nice. It's beautiful. You've got all sorts of things growing there all year round. Now, a lot of listeners have asked me to ask you some basics on what can they do. Should they go to community gardens? Should they call someone like you? Should they try to just grow their own things in their yard? Should they read a book? Give us some tips on how the average person listening to this show can encourage them to grow their own food, why it's so important to.
Well, first of all, anyone can grow some of their own food, and that's one of the priorities, I think, that we start off with, that you grow some of your own food. People starting out, there's two bits of advice that I think are very important. And the first is to not overdo it. Start small, get used to what you've got going, and then continually try to get a little bigger, a little bigger, a little bigger. And when you hit your overload point, you'll be able to tell it much sooner than if you started out and trying to rip out the whole backyard or front yard. And secondly, I would tell everybody, when you start a garden, the first thing I want you to plant out there is a chair. And I know that sounds funny, but it's the truth, because if you will make that garden a part of your life, you'll go out and sit down in your garden, have a cup of tea, go out and sit down in your garden, do some reading, go out, write, do some writing, maybe go out there and surf the internet. I really don't care. But I want you to go out and get into your garden, no matter how small, because if you're there, it becomes a part of your life. And if it becomes a part of your life, you and it will care for each other. If you don't let it become a part of your life, if you stick it out in the back and never see it, it will never thrive. It needs to have you there, and you need to be there. In my grandfather's day, they said that the best fertilizer was the farmer's shadow. And I believe that's true, because if you're out there and you're looking at the garden, you're going to see things going wrong or see things going right long before they become tumultuous or too much of a problem. So go out there and be a part of it. Make it a part of your life, and you'll be much happier, and it will thrive with you.
It does bring out happiness. Go ahead. Well, I just wanted to tell you and get your thoughts on this. I heard a story about a lady that had two plants on two ends of the room, of the house. And one plant, she gave him water, both of them, equally. But she gave him a lot of love. She was right next to it, giving a lot of love and talking to it, spending time with it. And the other one she kind of ignored. Well, guess what? The one that she gave love to thrived, it grew more colorful, and it lived longer.
Who work with plants recognize that plants have an innate intelligence that the people who don't work with plants don't seem to realize. When I taught a botany class for traditional Chinese medicine students that were going to become acupuncturists, one part of that class was to go out and meditate with plants. It's surprisingly different than meditating by yourself.
that's nature, right? I mean, that's being with the world, with the universe.
Well, people, I like that. The people will say, well, let's get out into the garden and get with nature, forgetting the fact that we are nature, and we're just immersing ourselves in that which we are. So, to me, the idea that don't treat nature as separate from yourself. Be a part of nature, and in that sense, you want to get out and get with your peeps, you know?
Right, right. Well, there's a lot of things we can talk about. I briefly, the community gardens, a lot of people want to know what they can do to get started, and I tell them, find a community garden, go there and talk to the person in charge, rent a plot, and just start growing your own food. What can you tell us about that briefly?
Well, I've been a part of community gardens for a very long time, and believe that in cities especially, this is not only in cities, but even in towns, anywhere you have a congregation of people and not everybody owns their own land, having a community garden space is absolutely one of the most wonderful things that can happen to a life. I was on the board of directors for the American Community Gardening Association, and based out of Ohio. And, you know, the thing of it is that what you said was exactly right. This is you go out to the local community garden and you talk to them. But if you decided that there aren't enough local community gardens around, you can contact the American Community Gardening Association, and they will have materials to help you and directions on how to get a community garden started.
So that would be the American Community Garden Association.
Association.
We'll Google that.
And I believe the website is communitygarden.org, but I'm not certain of that.
Okay, I'm sure people can Google that and get it. Next question for you. The Learning Garden. Tell us about the Learning Garden, what you do there, the classes, etc.
Well, the Learning Garden was founded in 2002. And we have an acre here, and it's just shy of a complete acre. The high school, Venice High School, uses about two-fifths of it for gardening and landscaping classes. The remaining three-fifths is then what I work with in the community, bringing in different groups. We have one group that grows food, which they take out to once a month they do a homeless feeding caravan. And a lot of what they grow there goes into that project. We have another group that does Chinese medicinal herbs for the local students studying Chinese medicine, acupuncture. We have a drought-tolerant garden, over 60 fruit trees. We have UCLA extension classes that come here. Plus, we have interns from Loyola Marymount, Santa Monica College, and UCLA that come out and work in the garden and work with the high school students in the garden doing different projects. We have courses here on gardening. One course I teach is a monthly course. It's based on the book I'm writing called Growing Food in Southern California. We have twice a year we have what's called the Victory Garden. It is a series of four classes that was promulgated by the University of Davis statewide extension. And we are looking at putting together an advanced Victory Garden where we'll be teaching classes that are a little bit more advanced than you actually get in the regular Victory Garden classes. So we do all that, plus we host the Seed Library of Los Angeles. We host the Westside Produce Exchange and the local time bank where you trade hours rather than money for products and services.
That's great. Well, you do great work there. I mean, I can't tell you. Anybody in Southern California needs to go down there and check it out, check the classes. We'll give you the contact information towards the end of this segment. Next question for you. Seeds. You have a place called the Seed Library of Los Angeles. You started that, what, years ago or so. Tell us about that, and tell us about seeds.
Well, the Seed Library of Los Angeles was started with the primary intent to allow people to be able to grow food that is clean and GMO-free no matter what else happens in the rest of the country. We take plants, we teach people how to take a seed and grow the seed, and from the plants that they get, they save the seed and bring them back to the garden. And that's like checking out a book at a library, reading the book, and then bringing it back and checking it back in. It's a little bit more complicated, but it's still the same idea. Some of the advantages you get from having a seed library is that we, by growing the seeds out here year after year after year, they change and they become adapted, more adapted to our soil and to our climate and our water. And so we end up with seeds that will perform better here in Los Angeles. And this is the same is true throughout the nation. If you do it in Kansas City, Missouri, the same process will happen. You'll end up with seeds that are more adapted to that area. By doing this, we ensure a local seed supply that is not dependent upon international corporations. We also make our area what we like to say is seed secure, because you cannot be food secure unless you are seed secure. With the alarming rate at which corporations are buying up the seed supply, and remember, everything you ate today is the result of a seed. We have corporations buying up the seed supply, and if they own the seed supply, then they can own your food. And if they own your food, that could be a disaster. So we want to have more diversity. We want to have more different seeds in the marketplace, and we are promoting that here at the Learning Garden through the Seed Library of Los Angeles. Right now, I think we're about at 130 members that are a part of our seed library, and we have about 300 different varieties of seeds in the seed library bank. So
great.
We started in 2010, and I think that is remarkable growth. I am overjoyed that this library is as vibrant and as enthusiastic as it is.
And Dr. Vandana Shiva, the great lady in India that many people consider a great leader in, I know you know her and you've worked with her, and she's been here.
She's one of my heroes.
Tell me about her. Let's talk about her and seeds, please.
Well, I got to tell you, first of all, if you ever get the chance to hear her speak, do so, because she's one of the outstanding speakers of our time, in that she can take a very complex idea and express it so simply and so beautifully with such wisdom and such depth. You don't get that from a common speaker. She's truly a very eloquent and listenable person, and she explains things beautifully. I get concepts from her that I get from no one else. She is the first one to point out to me that our entire chemical nature of gardening and farming is a throwback to World War II, because the nitrates that were used in bombs are now the nitrates we use in fertilizers. And the poison gas that was used in the war gave rise to the chemicals that we spray on crops to kill insects. And just that opened my eyes to the fact that we really need an entirely new paradigm for growing food, and I'm proud to be a part of that new paradigm that is completely organic in every sense of the word. So Vandana Shiva has her Seed Freedom India. That's the website would be seedfreedom.in, and is a wealth of information. She has written, I think, about 25 books, and is described as an eco-feminist, but I would describe her as a very wise and wonderful woman.
Right. So repeat that website again, her website.
The website would be seedfreedom.in, India.
Seed with no S, the Seed Freedom.
Yeah.
Dot what?
I-N.
I-N.
For India.
India, right, that's what I thought.
And let me just say, for those people that can make it, in Santa Rosa, next month, I believe it's the 8th, 9th, and 10th in Santa Rosa at the fairgrounds, is the 4th annual Heirloom Expo, and she is a speaker there at that expo. You get in for something like $25, and you get to see her and all kinds of amazing speakers about seeds and organic stuff. So
that's great.
Great event.
Yeah, I urge everyone in Northern California, the Bay Area, wherever, to go to that. Mm-hmm. That's a great. They're doing unbelievably great work up there. In fact, David, I understand that there's four counties in central Northern California, let's call it, including Santa Cruz, that are Mendocino County, I think is one of them, where they ban, mm-hmm. they ban all GMO products. They're really way ahead of a lot of places. What can you say about that, and what do you know about that?
Well, I know that Mendocino County is completely a different world in that they've banned GMOs. But when you go up there and drive into a town, there's a free pamphlet you can get, and it lists the different farms and their different products and the different hours. You can go directly from farm to farm and buy your produce, your eggs, your milk directly from the farmer. And they definitely are supporting a new paradigm in how to grow and how to market food. It's really quite a wonderful experience. But that leads us to today, where we're getting ready to have the Los Angeles City Council vote on a measure, and I don't like to talk about bans so much. I talk about a GMO-free Los Angeles. And what this would do is it would prevent anyone from growing from seed any plant or importing any plant that is GMO to be grown in Los Angeles. The primary idea that we want is to make sure that the plants we grow in our gardens, in our community gardens, in our school gardens, and in any for-profit enterprises that are grown here in Los Angeles can be free of GMO pollution in the way of pollen. And so this is our primary focus there, and we're quite buoyed by the reception we received from LA City Council, but it's not a done deal, and I don't want to count my chickens before they've hatched, but I do think that it's been well received, and certainly the people of Los Angeles, in the way they voted for labeling and all the pulling we can get on the people of Los Angeles, say that they do not want GMOs sold without a label, and they don't want GMOs polluting their gardens. So I think we stand heads and shoulders above the chance of above anything towards getting this passed.
And I think we're going to win because there are three councilmen out of 15 that are pushing for this, and they're working on this vigorously. And there are three councilmen that I believe, again, and from what I know of the city council, Eric Garcetti, the mayor, they're very, very open-minded to this. They're very progressive for the majority, and I feel that they're going to pass this. And I'm so
well, from your lips to God's ears, but I have the same feeling. I do think that, there's at this moment, I don't believe there's anybody who will economically be hindered by passing this ban. So I can't really see that there's much reason to oppose it, except for the potential public relations that would come from it.
And that's going to be the 26th, which is a Tuesday, at the Los Angeles City Council. Is that right?
Actually, the date is not firm yet. We are looking forward to having it pulled from committees, because it's in three committees right now. We have to get it moved out of the committees and put before the general city council. And when that vote comes, we're not exactly certain. But it will. We do believe, and this is just the best guess from this point, that it will be on their docket prior to October 20th. But I wouldn't hold my breath on that. It is, after all, a very large system that has to get worked through.
Wow, things are progressing. We're making inroads everywhere. There's a lot of states all around this country, United States, that are going to get on the ballot to try to win. We've had some victories. We've had some losses. I spoke to, by the way, David, I spoke to Diana Reeves in Connecticut. She's one of the leaders. Connecticut has now a GMO free from labeling. they're making sure that everything's labeled over there. They passed the law in Connecticut. And then she told me that there's a new website. Well, the website is not new, but if people go to the website, I'm going to tell you, they can look up and see that there's a new nonprofit 501 agency that the 501c3, season charity, mm-hmm. which means that people can actually help out and give donations to the nonprofit agency. It's called GMOfreeUSA.org. Your thoughts on that?
Excellent.
Yeah.
I don't know that organization, but I will say this, that my opinion is that we need to, first of all, I think this is the number one issue in America today because of the health ramifications to us, the environmental ramifications, and the isolation of our businesses from other parts of the world because of the parts of the world do not accept genetically modified organisms in their food. And I think that we need to rally each of these causes, a GMO-free Los Angeles, a GMO-free U.S., a GMO-free California, and labeling. Just keep up the pressure, because I know they have a lot of money to defeat propositions, and they have a lot of money to sway politicians. But if we keep it up and keep the pressure up, they have money, we have time, we have people. And I think with that, that formula, I think that eventually we will prevail, and we have to prevail. It's not a matter that we can just go on status quo. That's not acceptable. There's too much collateral damage. There's damage to the environment, damage to the soil, damage to people, damage to animals, damage to the entire world. And I don't think that that's acceptable in any shape or form. You know, their slogan of feeding the world is such an inverse to what they actually will cause, which will be mass starvation, because you can only poison the land for so long before the land is unable to produce food of any kind. So we have, it's a call to arms, and it's an essential call to arms because we all eat.
You're right. And you know, I'm sure you know, David, that in Europe, well, there's all around the world, there's 61 countries, the last I heard, that do not allow GMOs to come in the country unless they're labeled. In fact, there are, I believe, last I heard, four countries in the northern part of Europe, the capital box countries like Denmark, Switzerland, Sweden, Finland, Holland. I'm not sure which exact countries, but in that area, there are, last I heard, four countries that banned. They do not even allow GMO mm-hmm. products in there, and they don't even allow Coca-Cola in there, which is really bad also. So, mm-hmm. isn't that great?
That is. That is, and the, you know, we've gotten this thing a little backwards in the U.S. that, you know, we're protecting corporations, but we're not protecting children and innocents that are consuming some of this food that we have been lulled into purchasing. It's a crisis. It's a crisis because if you aren't eating good food, if you aren't getting the nutrition you need, you can't think. If you can't think, then you continue, you get into that pen and you just stay there. And I think we've got to find ways of getting out of that. We've got to find ways of improving the health of everyone, not just the people that are smart enough to listen to programs like yours. We have to have people, we've got to get people to hear this nationwide.
Right. Right.
So, I don't think I'm overstating the case by saying it is the most important issue in America today, and I don't think I'm overstating the fact by saying it is a crisis.
I agree with you, and I think a lot of people do not know about that. That's why I'm glad to have you on the show. And in the next week or two, we're going to have more on GMOs because of the GMOfreeUSA.org website and what's going on around the country and the world on the GMO issues. But this is great, David. If you could give us your contact information, how people can reach you, but please read it slowly and give it to us slowly, please.
Sure. You can, first of all, Slola, the Seed Library of Los Angeles. The website is SLOLA.org, and there are communication forms there. Click and you can get a hold of me and other people in the organization. The Learning Garden is thelearninggarden.org. And just remember, there are two G's where learning meets garden. So you have thelearninggarden.org.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And finally, for me, it's lagardenblog.com. And all those, you'll be able to get a hold of me through any of those. And also
Great.
Read some of the work that's going on. And, Bob, I want to say that first of all, before I get off the line here, I want to say that I think you're doing a marvelous job, too.
Well, thank you. I'm in this issue very strongly. I'll be at the city council. I've been working with you, with Pam Leary, with all the leaders in California, and Annette Aguilar is working in the Latino community. There's a lot going on all over California. And even though California lost at the last minute, the state of Washington up north lost, the last minute, we were leading the polls all the way till Monsanto came in with this heavy, heavy money and blatant lies. But we're going to succeed. We're going to win. And I can't thank you enough for being on the show. And give me one last minute thought and encouragement to our listeners about this whole issue.
Well, I just think that everyone listening can do something to improve the nation's self-supply, first of all, by perhaps growing some of your own food, two, by reading the labels when you purchase food, and knowing what you're purchasing. And because those things have an effect in the marketplace, and those things will change the world. And it changes slowly, but they will change the world. And so you have the power. Let's all get together and just let's use it. Let's use it every day.
Great. Thank you so much. You were wonderful as usual, and we're going to be talking to you again soon. Thanks again.
Thank you, Bob. Talk to you later.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Very good. Excellent, excellent. This is such an important issue. And here's one more website, the great lady in India, Dr. Vandana Shiva. Her website is seedfreedom.in, which stands for India. She's going to be in California September 8th, 9th, 10th in Santa Rosa. The big heirloom expo. It's all about seeds. It's all about organic farming. And it's right in what I would consider one of the capitals, one of the main places in Northern California of where this whole issue of gardening and seeds and better foods and fighting the GMO issue. There's so many things out there. And that's why I'm just happy to have this show. Growing your own food and is part of Let's Create a Better World. If we can defeat Monsanto, if we can take away these people that are coming in with all this money and trying to poison our food. If we can defeat them and have all of our food labeled and have our food much more organic and healthy, it's one major, major step to making this a better world. This show and myself are really fighting for that issue. So, let's go to our next segment. It's going to be about rock and roll and about a lady that I call her a historian on the history of rock and roll. Her name is Rosalie Brooks. She is really involved. She was involved very closely with Jimi Hendrix. And we're going to talk about briefly about Jimi Hendrix, about a little more history and background on rock and roll, and we're going to talk about what Rosalie's doing today and nowadays. She's doing a lot. Welcome to the show, Rosalie.
Thank you, Bobby. I really appreciate you inviting me.
Oh, you're fantastic, and you have a lot of knowledge and information about not only Jimi Hendrix, but more so the whole history of rock and roll. And by the way, at the beginning of the show, we put on that great song by Chuck Berry. Many people
wow.
call him the father of rock and roll. Yeah, rock and roll music. That was a great
song. I love it. That was a perfect intro.
Thank you. We want to do that in honor of you. And also at the end of the show, we're going to play the song My Diary. We found it, the song that you and Jimmy put together. And we're going to
Wonderful.
For at least a minute and a half or 2 minutes at the very end of the show. So listeners,
yes.
if you want to hear this song, Now, briefly, tell us about you, your experience with Jimi Hendrix, and tell us about him, the fast night that he led, and a little bit about him, and then how you got involved with him.
Well, it's a long story, but I'll try to make it brief. I met Jimi Hendrix on New Year's Eve, 1963, getting ready to be 64. I was at a club that was very popular in the neighborhood called the California Club, where all your big-time entertainers performed. The Christmas week, we had Little Richard's band. He had a 28-piece review, and I missed that show, but I went for New Year's because I wanted to bring in the New Year. Ike and Tina Turner and the Ikettes and their review, they also had like a 27-man review, were performing that night. And as I was sitting in my chair really up close watching this show, and Tina and the girls were dancing and carrying on, music was sounding wonderful, I kept feeling this strong sensation for me to turn around. And it was like a demand or command or something for me to turn around. So when I turned around, I saw this man, and our eyes met, and we just kind of like lost ourselves in the moment and stared at each other for so long until I got embarrassed and turned back around to watch the show. And so I tried to erase him from my thoughts, and later on I got up to go to the lounge, and he stood up, grabbed me by my hand, and invited me to sit with him. And that's how we met. And if people don't believe in love at first sight, I tell them they're wrong, because this was. Met Jimi Hendrix. He called himself James. His name was James Marshall. And that's what he told me to call him, and that's what I've always called him, James Marshall. I love his name. But when we finished watching the night, we brought in the New Year's with a kiss and all of that, you know, and went out and got in my car and went to Hollywood to Sunset to have a meal. And I had a friend of mine with me who was also a singer, and she met the other guitar player that played with with Little Richard's band. His name was Glenn Youngblood Willing. And he and Jimmy, if you've ever watched that video with the two guys on there, Buddy and Stacy doing Shotgun, you can see a good show with Jimmy and Glenn both playing guitars on there. And so that's when we met, New Year's, and it became, it was the best New Year's I've ever spent.
Well, that's so great. You know, I know the California Club. I grew up only a few blocks from there. I used to walk
is
by.
Is that right?
Yes, over by, it used to be called Santa Barbara Boulevard. It's now
yeah, it used to be Santa Barbara, Barbara, and then they changed it
right
to King Boulevard. And
right
now,
Lincoln Avenue.
They had turned the California Club into a hardware store, but I see now that it's being refurbished, and I think they're going to bring it back. That's what I've been hearing.
Good.
It would be wonderful because that place held so many memories and had so many artists, great artists that came through there. You know, like the they used to call them the Ken Folks Band, but they later on became the Watts 103rd Street Rhythm Band with Charles Wright, and they had David T. Walker, who was a phenomenal guitar player, who went on to do some great things and still doing great things.
It was one of the places that started music, black music, and rock and roll. And it also, by the way, as I was into Latin music, I'm Latino, and I was in the Salsa. They had one night a week there where they had mambo.
Yes, they did. They'd have like Mongo Santa Maria and Cal Jader. Let me see, Willie Bobo. They had all those cats there playing.
That was a big time place.
It was a great place.
Oh, you got to keep me posted. You have my number. I want you to keep me posted to see how and when, if that club is going to get started again. You know,
I sure will. I'm looking forward to looking into it myself because, like I said, we all started out like those clubs, and we had many clubs in our own neighborhood, which are now belly up. But We've got a new one I'm at now, and I feel like we're starting all over again. But there used to be another club called the 5-4 Ballroom, which I lived around the corner from. And I could hear all the great people that came through there when James Brown and the Famous Flames used to perform, Hank Ballard and the Midnighters, and Ike and Tina were there, Etta James was there, so many, Arthur Prysock, what's the other guy's name? Oh, my God, I can't even think of him right now, but... You know, so many wonderful, wonderful entertainers. I've grown up in a community where I was blessed to be around all the best, legendary people, like the Platters, the Flares, the Coasters. Like I said, Etta James was my mentor when I was a little child. She used to let me sit on her porch and listen to her and Richard Berry. I don't know if you remember Richard Berry, but he's the original who wrote Louie Louie. And he also did that other song called Pretty Girls Everywhere. And, of course, you know Etta James. And then, you know, later on when I was 15, I had Johnny Guitar Watson. He was my mentor also, who took me on my first blues gig to sing.
Oh, my God. This is great. You know, Rosalie, I did mention to you earlier, I'm going to speak to producers, and if you can get us two historians, two former musicians, whether they're former or they're still playing, doesn't matter. The people that were there in the 50s and 60s, people that know and can carry a conversation like you and I are doing right now, only we can go deeper into the history of rock and roll. Do me that favor and give me those two people, and I will guarantee you we'll do a show for a whole hour just on that.
I would love to do that.
We're going to do it.
I would.
So you got my word, because I'm impressed by you. Everything you're saying, you really know the history. You are truly a historian of rock and roll.
Well, you know, ever since I was a little kid, at 2 years old, I used to listen to the radio when we had some great DJs like Hunter Hancock and Joe Adams when I was a little girl. And they played all the best of everything, you know, like, what's his name, Joe Turner. Shake,
Fats
Rattle,
Domino.
And Roll, and
Fats Domino.
No, even before Fats Domino, they had people who did stuff like, Louis Jordan. You know, people don't realize that rock and roll goes way back. Because people like Louis Jordan, ain't nobody home but us chickens. And, you know, those are rock and roll. That's rock and roll, all that energy. Ruth Brown, Jim Dandy to the Rescue, and Mama, He Treats Your Daughter Mean. Rock and roll. That's rock and roll, too. Of course, we don't ever want to forget about Chuck Berry. He came along with all so many wonderful wonderful gifts of music that was totally rock and roll. And then, of course, the pioneer Little Richard, and, so many more.
They come to Los Angeles a lot. They were all over the country. Memphis,
they were. They were here. Their base was here. You know, they were here, and they were like in, in the lab, creating all of this wonderful music that we, you know, we don't ever want to forget about it, because it is, you know, and we never should forget our legend. Or the classics that they, the gifts of this music that they left for us. I always like to listen and go back in time to hear everybody and remember them and the gifts that they brought.
Right.
Yes.
You know, Hunter Hancock was a great DJ. When he died, they had a big ceremony for him at a place in the San Gabriel Valley, I remember. And when they had it, they had a recording of Hunter Hancock. It was really great, because he came on. He says, "Well, now I've got your attention. You sit there, you can't get up. Now you got to listen to me."
We loved him. You know, we loved Hunter Hancock, because he was the best. He was, he had a way about giving you the details, all the information, and he was delighted. You know, you could hear the delight in his voice. To be able to present this music and to give the best of the best, you know, wonderful DJ.
And even though he wasn't, a lot of the music he played was black, but he was white.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, he reminded. I mean, there were a few like him. The person that just
Johnny
passed
Otis.
Away. You know that
Johnny Otis.
K-Day. No, not
yes.
Johnny Otis. The gentleman that just passed away recently, Casey Kasem.
That's right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was another wonderful soul that really, really just had no bias, no prejudice at all when he played our music. You know, he loved it. And he could see it and hear it in his voice when he gave it to us.
That's right. As we're finishing the segment, I'd like you, Rosalie, to talk about you, your music, what you're doing, any of the thoughts you have about the future of music and the type of things that we're talking about.
Well, I think that everything comes back to the root. I don't care how far you go. It's like a boomerang. You always got to come back to the root. And I feel that that's where I am right now, and I may be the mother of it. That's how I'm feeling because I am in my own community now. I have been blessed to have a really nice place to perform, and we do it every Saturday from 3 to 8 right now. I'm getting ready today to go over there. It's right 6 blocks away from my house, but it's called the MJ's Unique Social Club, right on Western and 70th. But anyway, I'm there, and I'm bringing the blues. I'm inviting all the best of the best musicians in the L.A. area and wherever. They can come from anywhere, but I invite them all to come there and jam. We have open mic, and they play their hearts out. You know, we've been doing it for a couple of months now, but, you know, like, I'm right at, in the catbird seat, as they call it, with music, you know, with
right.
artists. You know, I appreciate our artists, great or small, and I think I am a vehicle for them, you know, and I love that. You know, I love being that vehicle. If my name and recognition as far as being connected to Jimi Hendrix as a legend, and they also have named me a legend, and so giving me that legendary status has allowed me to go open some doors that others cannot open. So while I'm opening those doors, I'm going to bring everybody with me, and that's what I've been doing, and I love what I do. And until, as they say, how long are you going to be doing music? Till the wheels fall off. That's what I tell them. But I love what I do. I'm a blues artist, but I also do funk, soul, R&B. I'm a rocker. You know, I don't care what it is. I'm very eclectic when it comes to music. I might sing Every Step You Take, I'll Be Watching You or something, you know. Or I Imagine by John Lennon, you know. And Change the World, you know, whatever. I might sing all them songs. I don't care what they are. But I'm a Queen Without a King is one of the songs I wrote, and it's a hell of a blues song. And next time I'm on your show, I would like for you to play that, you know, because it's a really very, very good song. I feel I'm very proud of it, and I get nothing but acclaim whenever I perform it. Did Long Beach Bayou Blues Festival in June, on June 22nd, and the people I had, oh my God, sea of people out there. When I did that song, I mean, everybody was asking for a copy of the CD, and I wished I'd had some, but I didn't. But anyway, you know, I'm just enjoying life. I'm going to be turning 71 on my next birthday in October, if God says so. And I'm just enjoying the ride right now. Music has always been, like I said, I knew I wanted to sing when I was 5 years old. And I got a scholarship when I was 9 to go study music at USC. I was able to pick up any instrument and just play it instantly without even ever touching it before. And I love to sing. I used to be 5 octaves, but now, you know, as you get older, your voice changes. So, you know, what I do now, I love painting pictures and telling good stories.
You're not old. You're still young. As long as you can sing.
Yes, sir.
And
I feel
live
good.
The life that you live, you are not old.
I feel very blessed. I thank God for my blessings.
You've got lived a great life. This is so beautiful. Before you give us your contact information, or you can give the contact either in order, one of the two, kind of information, how people can reach you, but also I want you to give a 1 or 2 minute final thoughts on everything we're talking about how the importance of music. And remember, the name of this show is called Let's Create a Better World. And to me,
I would love to do that. And one of my biggest problems that I see is that when we create the music and someone else takes the credit for it, that's one of my biggest things that I have a problem with. And people die and don't get a nickel for the gifts that they brought to the table while somebody else reaps the benefit. And that has happened again and again and again and again. It's like we're like a horn of plenty, and or somebody has got an umbilical cord attached to us. I'm speaking of black artists. They've got this umbilical cord attached to us, just taking everything again and again, repeatedly. And people got sick and tired of it to the point where they now go underground, or they go independent, and they do all kind of stuff. And it has really hurt the recording industry. The record companies and record industry has really suffered from it, but they need to treat people right. They need to give them their just due. You know, and speaking of that, you know, like I waited over 40 years. I always said that Jimi Hendrix left something for me because I was good to that brother. He never wanted for anything. The whole time we were together, he went everywhere. I'm the reason why we had the recording session of My Diary in the UT, because I knew the person, and we approached him one night. We were out together, and I knew him, and I told him we had a song, and he invited us over to come and do it. We did it. He loved it. And then we were hanging out with Major Lance's band members, bass player and drummer. So when we got a chance to do the, it all happened like a week. When we got a chance to do the session, the recording session, we asked them, and they agreed for nothing, you know, just to do it for fun. And we also invited a friend of mine who later on went and claimed that he wrote me and Jimmy's song, named Arthur Lee, and he had a group called Love, and he was famous. But he felt the need that he needed to lie and say that he wrote our song, and he never wrote. He even made bogus label and put his name on it as the writer and everything. But he didn't have anything to do with writing or doing anything except I made a mistake in inviting him to do the session with us. And when we got him over there to do the session, matter of fact, when we went to go pick him up, Jimmy wouldn't even speak to him. You know, he grunted because Jimmy was jealous, okay, and he thought he might have been something to me, so he didn't even really respond to him at all. But Arthur got in there, and he worked with the background vocals as him singing falsetto on the song My Diary. But I was told that we had the Young Pointer Sisters, the girls that are singing on the background of that song were the Young Pointer Sisters. And the gentleman that told me that was the one who produced us, Mr. Billy Rivas, but he's been long gone. But in the meantime, we had, like I said, Major Lance's band members who were famous, and Jimmy, of course, who went on to become legendary. But I made that whole session happen, and as I said, now I'm on his four CD box set with a DVD with Bootsy Collins narrating on it, but it's called West Coast Seattle Boy, and our song, I'm on the first CD is called My Diary, and the flip side is called The UT. And on the UT, it displays Jimmy playing a guitar solo without any effects, and it proves that how way ahead of his time he was with the way that he's playing these solos. And it happened in 1964 of January, the end of January, when we recorded these two songs.
Well, we got to wrap it up. We're going to play the song My Diary in a minute. As soon as you first give us your contact information, how people can reach you.
I am on Facebook, Rosalie Brooks, Brooks Project. If you Google my name, Rosalie Brooks, you can find anything. about me. I have a MySpace page. I have lots of YouTube videos with me performing, even performing some of Jimmy's material. I love to do tributes in his honor. One's coming up, the memorial is coming up next month, which I'll probably be doing something. And I have a few, like I said, I have a few of his material that I've done, plus my own, and always something new. But they can get in contact with me through Facebook or MySpace.
Okay, and that's spelled R-O-S-A-L-I-E?
Uh-huh. No, L-E-E is two, it's capital. It's apart, Rosa Lee, and the last name is Brooks.
And then Lee is L-I-E, right?
L-E-E.
L-E-E, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Rosa Lee, L-E-E, Brooks.
Right.
Okay.
On
MySpace,
I'm on
so
Facebook, and I'm on MySpace. But if they Google, Google will give them all of the stuff.
Okay, we've got to wrap it up. Thank you so much. You've been wonderful.
I thank
Don't
you
forget,
too. It's been a pleasure.
Get us two people, historians, former artists, and we will see about doing a show. Just call me. Let me know. Okay.
I will. Thank you so much for the invitation. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Good show.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. All right. All right, we're going to wrap it up here. I want to let you know that in the next few weeks, the shows we're going to have are about genetically engineered food, some new developments going on with that. We're going to talk about cleansing, about detoxing, about aging, and about stem cells. That's all coming up, plus more. We have two themes, Let's Create a Better World and Healthy Aging. Also, if you want to hear previous shows, you can don't go to archives, go to shows. First, punch in prn.fm, and then go to SHOWS. You put in the date of the show you want, or the name of the show is Let's Create a Better World, this show. For those who want to reach me, my phone number is 323-770-1925. And now, a few thank yous. Thank you to Gary Noel for putting this station together. Great job. Thank you for the engineer, Martin, a producer in New York, of the overall Progressive Radio Network show, station, I should say, Progressive Radio Network. That's Jason. The producer in Los Angeles, Jimmy D, who does a lot of great work. Another one that does a lot of great work is our associate producer, Stuart Hassel. And our guests today were David King, Rosa Brooks. And I want to thank also you, the listeners. Now we're going to hear a song called My Diary, by Rosalie Brooks, who you just heard, the former girlfriend of Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix is on this also. Jimi Hendrix and Rosalie, My Diary. And tune in again next week. Thank you so much.